Hi, everybody. Today is Saturday, June 21st, 2025, and our friend Professor Marandi is back with us. Welcome back, Professor.
Thank you for inviting me, Nima.
I want to start with the talks between the Iranian foreign minister and the European countries, three European countries, United Kingdom, Germany, and France. What has happened during that meeting? What is the outcome of that?
The Iranian foreign minister was very tough, and he told them that enrichment is a red line that will not be crossed, and that the United States has created this situation, and the Israeli regime obviously does not want a nuclear deal. And under these circumstances, we will continue to hammer the regime.
Can we know about the current situation, the interactions between Iran and Israel? And because in yesterday and the day before yesterday, they're talking about the Iran is reducing the number of missiles that go into Israel. What is that for, in your opinion?
Iran has now shifted to qualitative strikes, also used to draw fire from Israeli regime missile defenses, which are running out, so that in future, if it wants to use older missiles again, like it did during the first few days, it can do so without them being brought down or targeted by the Israeli regime. So we see the Iranians doing different things in different days, during different times of days, to make it unpredictable for the Israelis. But alongside all of this is the calculation to empty American and Israeli missile defenses.
Does Iran believe that Europeans can play a role in what's going on between Iran and the United States, I would argue, even not Israel? The United States is behind all of this. How is it going to work for Europe and the way that they're trying to do, I don't know, they're trying to do something, but how important is that in the eyes of Iranians?
They're not important at all. But I think the most important thing is that the Iranians want the international community. And that doesn't mean the West. It means the international community, the broader international community, where the West is just a small part. They want them to see Iran as pursuing diplomatic solutions, so that the American regime or the Trump regime or the Netanyahu and Israeli regime, they cannot turn the tables through their massive Western media apparatus. Because you know how we've seen the Western media, which hates Trump for the most part, when it comes to Zionism and ethno-supremacism and slaughtering children in Gaza or slaughtering children in Lebanon, they are fully with Trump and Netanyahu. So Iran knows that the best thing, the smartest thing to do, is to show people across Latin America, across Africa, across Asia, among BRICS countries, Shanghai Cooperation Organization countries, and public opinion in the West itself, it wants to show all of them that we are the ones who are pursuing a peaceful solution within the framework of our international rights, and it is the other side that is brutal and aggressive and murderous and untrustworthy.
I remember when the war in Ukraine started, they were trying, in the mainstream media, they were trying to picture everything differently in order to show how strong is Ukraine. The same sort of campaign is going on right now in the mainstream media in the West. They're trying to talk about Iranian missile program. How was that discussed during the meeting between the Iranian foreign minister and Europeans?
The Iranians are not going to discuss their missile defense capabilities with anyone. And Nima, we've discussed this in the past before. Western media is just propaganda. And just like in the war in Ukraine, they were saying for 3 years, where they were saying for 3 years that the Ukrainians are winning, and it was clear that they were losing. That's the same sort of strategy that corporate media is using today. And alternative media that's linked to the Zionists and uses Zionist money. The fact is we've discussed repeatedly, that all of Iran's key assets are underground. Everything is underground. They have not destroyed a single underground base with missiles or drones. Not one, nothing, zero, zilch. And the buildings that they are striking, for example, that belong to the nuclear program, they have all been emptied over the past week. There's nothing there for them to hit but empty buildings. Forget the fact that they're missing a lot. I in Tehran, you can see how they're missing and how many of the missiles and drones are being downed, and increasingly Iranian air defenses are improving. And also people who've been bought off by the Israeli regime and their Al-Qaeda and ISIS people in Iran, they're being arrested. And we see the drone attacks, the numbers dropping quickly. You know, all of that aside, everything aside, the Israeli regime, if it was succeeding, Trump would not be so eager or so not eager, but let's say so deeply concerned that he would be moving towards conflict with Iran. So the Israelis are having no success, especially after the first day, and the first day and a half at most. They have not knocked out Iran's air defenses. They have not knocked out Iran's missile defenses. They have not destroyed anything strategic that belongs to our nuclear program. As I said, everything was taken underground during the last few days, and a lot of it was taken out before that, because the Iranians were expecting an attack by the Israeli regime over the past few weeks. So, and even other buildings, even government buildings that have nothing to do with defense or Iran's civilian and civil nuclear program, they have taken precautions everywhere. So Israelis are failing. And as I said, the evidence for that is Trump's rush to bring in troops and to station them in Saudi Arabia. And this is, by the way, not going to end well for the Saud family. This won't end well. And, you know, the people are talking about in Iraq, people are talking about the fact that it may be time to retake Kuwait, which is historically theirs. And Yemen may retake their territory in Hejaz, in the Arabian Peninsula. The days ahead are going to be very decisive for the region and for the world. And there's nothing that the Americans will be able to do about it. So if Trump moves in, you will see Yemen and Iraq and behave very differently. And the road will be open for them to do whatever they want. And I think the Americans know quite well that Iran will not relent in the Persian Gulf or anywhere else. Because anywhere, any regime that has American bases or has American assets, they will be complicit. And I should point this out to your viewers, that Iran's missile capabilities and drone capabilities for medium and short range targets are far greater than their assets for long range targets that are in Palestine. And it's much easier for them to move around missiles to strike the other side of the Persian Gulf, or to strike the Persian Gulf, or to strike targets near Iran. It's very easy. They have many more drones, many more missiles. And Iran, as I said before, when it comes to the Israeli regime, it has tens of thousands of missiles. And I think I heard that even Netanyahu admitted that it's well over 20,000. And Iranian factories are working. They're producing all their needs. And there's nothing that the Israelis can do about it. If the Americans attack, it will get very bloody, but Iran will make sure that there is no more oil coming from West Asia or the Caucasus. That'll be finished. And so the world will face enormous consequences, and it will only be Trump and Netanyahu who will be to blame, and the Zionists, and the world will know that, and Americans will know that. Americans, when the economy goes downhill and collapses, they'll be seeking out these warmongers and these Zionists and these neocons who push the country over the edge.
You've mentioned the situation with Saudi Arabia. It seems that they're trying, if the United States attacks Iran, they're complicit in what the United States is doing, because they're letting the United States coming in and use their bases in Saudi Arabia. How, if, let's assume, if Israel, if the United States attacks Iran and Saudi Arabia is somehow helping the United States, what would be the reaction? It's the target would be Saudi Arabia or all of these countries who are participating in the Persian Gulf region?
All of them that are complicit, and they will not last. And I think that it's pretty clear that Saudi Arabia will break up, and the different tribes will get their territory. Yemen will get its territory. Iraq may get something. But if any of these regimes are complicit and they have their bases, they have American bases, they're already complicit. If Trump attacks, everything changes. And they are incapable. Saudi Arabia could not defeat Yemen when Yemen was weak and vulnerable. Today, Yemen is much stronger. They've defeated the United States. The Iraqis will not tolerate an attack on Iran. We saw how Iraqi religious leaders have made very strong statements over the last couple of days, and we saw major demonstrations in Iraq, like we saw in Iran. We saw demonstrations across, while the Zionists were hiding, the Iranians were on the streets across the country, defying the Israeli regime. The same was true in Iraq yesterday. So the Americans will lose everything. They will lose West Asia. And this is really serious business, and it will be their own fault. They will have no one to blame, because we did not start this. But we will make sure that we come out of this victorious. And we will make sure that the United States and Trump and Netanyahu and the Israeli regime regret any act of aggression that they carry out, that they've carried out, or that they wish to carry out against Iran. This is it. Iran is not going to hold back anymore. So we are, and it's the, as I said, the Israeli regime is already losing. It's clear they're losing. Otherwise, Trump, who is gloating on day one about the regime, why is he so in such a rush to attack Iran? And why is he in such a rush to carry out war, despite the fact that the overwhelming majority of Americans are opposed to this? And we see opponents of Zionism, and we see people turning against Zionism. I mean, it's quite stunning that the Americans are destroying all of the narratives they worked so hard to create for the last 4.5 decades. People across the world are turning to Iran. People are all now supporting Iran in parts of the world that you would not imagine. You see across the region, Iran is becoming celebrated among people. In Jordan, they go to the rooftops and celebrate when missiles go over the country. And elsewhere, the mood is the same. So the United States and the Israeli regime have destroyed the image, the fake image that they created for themselves in the eyes of people across the world. And they've created an environment where people are now recognizing that Iran is the side that is opposed to genocide, ethno-supremacism. It is the victim, like the Palestinians, like the Lebanese, like the Gazans, like Yemen, like the poor Syrians who are now under the rule of ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And it is the other side that is evil and aggressive. And then those countries in the region that are silent, or that are still doing business and trade, or that are hosting American bases, they are losing people. They're being exposed to their own people and the people of the world. So I do not see this as good news for the Americans. This is horrible news for Trump. This is horrible news for the Israeli regime. Again, Iran is not pushing for war, but Iran will defend itself. Iran did not start this war with the Israeli regime, but Iran is not going to give up its sovereignty and is going to punish the regime. And if the United States strikes, it will be painful, it will be bloody, but Iran will hit the United States in a way and its regional allies in a way in which they will never recover.
Main goal, it was this so-called regime change in Iran. Yesterday, we've seen the people of Iran coming out from all across the country. They knew who's the enemy right now. They know who's manipulating everything in Iran in order to achieve something. Is that the way that I think it, if we assume that was the goal, that is totally defeated by now. And there has to be something else to back up that with the new movement on the part of Israelis and the United States.
Nima, people who would spend their days attacking the Islamic Republic of Iran day and night, they are now supporting it, both within Iran and across the region. My own colleagues, those who are very harsh and constantly criticizing everything, they just spend their days often attacking and coming up to me and criticizing and complaining, even though I have no role to play in any government. But they are coming out and saying, we have to fight to the finish. We have to remain steadfast. We are right. They are evil. They are the aggressors. Iran was right all along not to trust them. Iran was right all along to invest in missiles and drones and protective shields. And Iran was right all along to support allies across the region to be able to defend themselves against the Israeli regime and the Americans. What the United States, what Trump and the Israeli regime have done, in such, especially in this crude way in which they did it, because Trump and Netanyahu are horrible at public diplomacy. They're terrible. They're the worst. Maybe Netanyahu used to be good to be able to deceive the American people. And Trump was capable in exposing his mainstream political opponents. But for the world and for young Americans and Europeans, I would imagine, they are horrible. And so what Trump and Netanyahu have done, this evil duo, is that they've united Iranians in a way that I have not seen before. They are as effective in uniting Iranians as Saddam Hussein was at uniting Iranians. And this is going to add to the devastation. And they are turning Iran into a beacon of hope for people across the region and beyond who before did not see the world that way. I think that these are all catastrophic mistakes being made by the Americans. Whatever they do, they lose. But if they engage in war, I think that's it for the Americans. I think that will be the demise, a quick demise for the American empire. They will lose this region. Iran's allies will gain the upper hand across the board, especially Yemen and Iraq. And I think that the other regimes, especially the oil and gas regimes, rich regimes, the family dictatorships, they will cease to exist, depending on what the Americans do. If the Americans don't engage in warfare, yeah, fine. What they can all continue as it is. Even though right now Qatar is assisting the Americans, all of them are assisting Israel. All of them, the bases, the American bases in Turkey and the Emirates and Qatar and Bahrain and Saudi Arabia, they're all assisting the Israeli regime offensively and defensively, every single one of them. And of course, many of these governments have direct ties, they do business and trade, they're all assisting the regime in one form or another, some more, some less. But that is tolerable for us because we don't want this war to expand at all. We want this region to be peaceful, we want it to be quiet, we want countries to do trade and business with each other, and we don't want chaos. But if the Americans attack us, then they are all a part of the aggression. They cannot hide. the fact that they are deeply involved in this aggression. And as I said, short-range missiles, medium-range missiles, short-range drones, medium-range drones, Iran has far larger numbers of underground bases and drones for that have been designed to protect the country from the United States. And those missiles are much easier to move around. They're much smaller. Those drones are much easier to move around. Iran can, within hours, make the global markets go into shock. Within hours, within minutes. But within hours, people will see the direct results of Iran's counterstrikes. And Iran won't wait, and nor will its allies. So, you know, the Kuwaitis should be very careful, because Iraq, they historically, Kuwait belonged to them. Saudi Arabia should be very careful, because Yemen had territory that they took from them. And the list goes on.
We've learned yesterday that Israel, since the war started, the Israeli aggression on Iran started last Friday, they have received 14 weapon shipments. It's a lot. If you do it during a week, it's a lot, from Germany and the United States. It shows it somehow that they were not prepared for a war. They attacked Iran somehow. They were some delusional that they can change the regime, so-called regime changing, do it before something happened, a big response from Iran coming. Do you feel that the United States was bought in this sort of delusional mindset? That's why the Trump administration gave the green light to Netanyahu to attack Iran?
The fact is, and you know this as well as I, and so do your viewers, and we've discussed this before, the West has this very absurd understanding of Iran. And they believe these so-called regime, these Iranian regime changers that they fund. And these people, of course, they're always telling them that Iran is falling apart. The regime is unpopular. You know, the regime that they keep calling, you know, they keep calling it the regime. The regime is unpopular. It's falling apart. And these people, that's how they get paid. They get paid to say, we're working inside Iran. We're overthrowing. We've created networks. We're ready to bring down the regime, and the West believes them, or at least they want to believe them. And then these people go into Western think tanks, and then Western think tanks all repeat this ridiculous narrative. And then Western politicians are invited by these people, these so-called Iranians who are funded by the West, and they fund those politicians to come and give speeches. And so this whole narrative and discourse about Iran being on the verge of collapse, and all you need to do is give it some pressure, kill a few kids, kill some women and children, slaughter some, you know, hospital workers, slaughter some families, and the so-called regime will collapse. And so I believe that the Netanyahu regime and the Trump regime, they really bought into this. And so they thought that if Netanyahu strikes Iran, that Iran will collapse, and within a couple of days, it's going to capitulate. But for us, it was clear as day what was going to happen. The attack was a catastrophic mistake by Trump and Netanyahu, because that itself further brought to Iranians together from all walks of life. It strengthened the determination. It increased the determination of ordinary Iranians to resist, because this is aggression. So they may have killed a few people and slaughtered a few families, and, you know, Western media celebrated the slaughter. And, you know, the Western media is so despicable. And these, you know, the New York Times, this Zionist rag, or the CNN or BBC or Fox News, they're all the same. They've been supporting a Holocaust in Gaza. They've been supporting the slaughter of women and children for 20, 21 months now. They're partners in these crimes. But on day one, if you recall, they were saying how sophisticated the Israeli attacks were, and they decapitated the Iranians. They didn't do anything in particular. They bombed people's apartment blocks, killed everyone inside to murder one or two people. These aren't secrets. People's homes are not secrets. People in my neighborhood know that I live here. People in other neighborhoods know who their neighbors are, especially if the person was on TV or a general who's been on TV before. There's no secret about that. So, you know, slaughtering, I heard that in one building before, I thought it was 65 people who were killed. Someone told me it's 70 people who were killed so that they could kill one or two senior officers. They slaughtered everyone in the building. They said 25 kids. I don't know if it's 60, 65 or 70, but, you know, over 20 kids. They slaughtered them all. And Western media says, wow, this was a, you know, very sophisticated operation. You sort of trying to glorify and to the Israeli the regime and its intelligence capabilities. But now we see that the country is united. Trump and Netanyahu are despised. Air defenses are working well. Missile capabilities, they are, you know, and all of this is money that Iran spent years ago. Most of these missiles have been in those tunnels for many years. It doesn't cost Iran anything to fire them, because they were purchased a long time ago. Iran can go on firing missiles at the Israeli regime at no cost. They were built a long, long time ago. So for Iran, it's, you know, they are in a commanding position. Again, we don't want war. No one wants war. We want this region to be peaceful. Qatar, Bahrain, the Saudis, all of these regimes to have decent relations with Iran, but they can't have their cake and eat it too. And the Americans cannot have a presence in Iraq and benefit from Iraq under circumstances where Iraqi airspace is being used. No, Iraqis will throw them out. They'll throw all of them out. And there'll be no, you know, they'll strangle the Western economy. So all of these regimes are collaborators if the Americans strike, and Iran has prepared itself for decades. Yeah, I'm sort of repeating myself, but this is important for people to recognize. What lies ahead will change the world. If the United States attacks Iran, the world will move in one direction. If the United States refrains from attacking and Trump does the same thing, he's more sane, then the world moves in a different direction. But the West should not believe its propaganda. If they can put all this nonsense out that the Israelis are doing well, but they should ask themselves if that propaganda is really true, then why is Trump so desperate to help Netanyahu, his ally in genocide, his partner in genocide?
I don't see the United States being able to do anything more than what they've done to Yemenis in Yemen. And it seems that if they attack Iran, they want to do something big as possible, to attack Iran, bomb Iran, and just go away. Do you believe that? I talk with the experts, and in the case of the bunker buster bombs, they don't believe that even the United States is going to be able to destroy Iranian nuclear facilities. And what came out in the British media, they're talking about tactical nuclear weapons against Iran. If the United States does that, goes in that direction, what would be the outcome for the United States?
That would be the end of the United States as a power. The world would revolt. This is no joke. The Israelis and the American regime, they can't do that and get away with it. And it's very clear that the very fact that they raise these issues, that these are actually being discussed, show how sinister these regimes are. It shows how sinister the EU is, how sinister the United States is, how evil they are. So even by making such discussions or having such discussions in public, they're showing their true colors. But Iran is not going to relent. Iran can what Iran can do to them is equal to hundreds of nuclear weapons. This is not about the Strait of Hormuz, Nima. This is about all oil and gas from West Asia and the Caucasus, gone. Everything, zero. And this is not about closing, it's not about shutting, this is about destroying assets, whether it's tankers or ships or infrastructure. If you're an aggressor, if you are assisting an aggressor, if you are part of an aggression, you will pay the ultimate price. And these regimes do not have power. And Iran is not Yemen. What Iran can do to them is infinitely greater than what Yemen can do. And all of these glass palaces are right in front of Iran. The Persian Gulf is not wide, and Iran has capabilities, and Iran is ready as we speak. Iran is prepared for an attack now. Iran does not look at Trump's statements giving, where he speaks of giving 2 weeks or 60 days or 2 days or 10 days. Iran, Trump is a thug to the Iranians. He is a thug. And anything that he says is unreliable, because we saw how he lies and how deceptive he is and how self-contradictory he is. And therefore, the Iranians are prepared as we speak. So if I was in Qatar, I would be, I would be leaving, actually. If I was living in any of these countries, I'd be seeking a way out now. But while I'm seeking a ship or a plane or getting my car prepared to rush across the Arabian Peninsula to get out, I would be calling people in Washington and telling them that, exactly what's going to happen. And again, this is not just Iran. Iraq will take what is theirs, and the Yemenis will take what is theirs. It's going to be hell on earth for the Western camp.
Two important points. One is the Strait of Hormuz. The other one is Bab el-Mandab in the Red Sea. In my opinion, Iran is capable of just blocking these two important points in the trade of international trade of oil and
Nima, can I just say something?
Go ahead.
The Strait of Hormuz won't even be important if there is no oil being pumped out of the ground, if there is no gas being pumped out of the ground, if there are no tankers to take that oil or any ships to take that gas. Closing the Strait of Hormuz is irrelevant. And this will be a long-term change. And Iran doesn't have to do anything about Bab el-Mandab. Yemen will do it. And the Americans won't be able to do anything about it, because their economy will be in free fall. And they'll be busy with Iran too. And when Iraq and the popular mobilization forces deal with the Americans and their assets, and the oil exports, where they're not being paid, the Americans keep the money in their banks, Iraqis can shut down the oil until the Americans surrender their money. And the Iraqis can take their land back, what was historically theirs in the south. There's nothing the Americans can do about that anymore. The world has changed. So you'll see a different map. And you'll see new regimes or new governments or new states emerging in the years to come. And there will be no American presence. It will be ugly. It will be full of death and destruction and misery across the world. And that I don't want to see. You'll see tens of millions, if not more, on the move across the world. When economies collapse, they'll be searching for somewhere to go. And where do they go historically? They go to Europe. They go to North America. So if they're worried about refugees now, the flood is coming. A huge flood is coming, like a biblical flood is coming their way. So again, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see people live in misery. But if anything does happen, I have no doubt that in Washington, these warmongers who have their talk shows, or who are in the Senate, or who are in the House, or who are in government, people will be seeking them out and saying, who are these guys? Who are these Zionists and neocons that destroyed our world? And the same will be true across Europe. And they will only have themselves to blame. They will have brought it upon themselves.
Donald Trump talked to Vladimir Putin in the call. Vladimir Putin suggested to mediate between Iran and the United States. What we've learned so far, correct me if I'm wrong, the Iranian officials don't believe what the United States is talking about. They don't mean anything to the Iranian officials, but there has to be something else coming in, some other factors coming in, China, Russia, I don't know, whoever that way, international community, as you've mentioned. There has to be something else coming into the equation to make them responsible for what they're doing. How does Iran see that?
Since I'm not in government, I can't really say. But Russia could be, or China could be, an off-ramp for the Americans so that they could claim that they had some sort of success somehow, and that this was resolved, and what they had, Trump, all this was the plan all along, and the art of the deal, and that sort of nonsense. But at the end of the day, Iran is not going to give up its sovereign rights. It's not going to give up nuclear enrichment. And it's not going to have any consortium or anything like that. That's never been on the table. That's not something Iran will accept. Iran is willing to accept a deal, definitely. But of course, with this Trump regime that is so despicable and dishonest and deceptive and disgusting, threatening Iran's leaders, something. And it's interesting how Western media is not outraged. You can threaten heads of states and religious leaders nowadays, and all these liberal Western journalists and broadcasters, they'll support it, just like they supported the ongoing Holocaust and the ongoing starvation. And we should always remember, as we're speaking, this Holocaust in Gaza continues, the genocide continues, the starvations continues, and these people are all a part of it. In fact, what we are witnessing is how, as Western mainstream media and Western journalists and Western elites are desperately trying to demonize Iran in order to whitewash the Israeli regime, in order to have people forget the fact that they've been carrying out a Holocaust worse than Hitler, or worse than the monsters of the 19th and 20th centuries, because they're doing it in front of our eyes. They've been doing it in front of the eyes of the world. And past genocides, whether in World War II or elsewhere, were not done in front of the cameras, and they were not justified in front of the cameras. They were hidden. We only learned about them, whether in Africa or in Asia, the British Empire, the French Empire, the Italians, the Portuguese, the Spanish, the Europeans, Belgium. We only learned about these things later on in history books. But these people do it in front of everyone. So what they're desperately trying to do is to demonize Iran right now, just like we saw with this sinister guy, Piers Morgan. The objective is to draw attention away from these crimes and from their complicity, the fact that they're complicit in these crimes, and to demonize Iran. But it's not working. It's not working because people know what Israel is, and they know that they started the attack. So it's not going to work. So what? The only solution for the United States now is to find an off-ramp. And for Iran, ordinary negotiations cannot be conducted like before. We have to have real assurances that these disgusting leaders in the West don't stab us in the back again. And we have to have assurances about Gaza and about Lebanon and about, an end to the hostilities right now can only come about under circumstances where the Iranians feel that Trump will not be able to wake up the next day and do something else. Although, I don't think Trump is going to last as the president. If he strikes Iran, I think his presidency is over and he will not serve his term. I think they'll remove him or he'll be forced to step down much more swiftly than people think. But even if he doesn't, I don't think he's going to last because he's destroyed the United States. He's done more harm to the regime in Washington than even Biden has done. And that's saying a lot.
I don't know if you watched it. Video from Gaza that the people who are under starvation, the situation is so dire in Gaza, and then Israelis attack them by a tank, they fired them by a tank. It's unbelievable. You look at this scene, it's unbelievable what's going on there.
Every day, Nima, every day they're doing it. And now they're trying to prevent people from having access to the internet so that it won't be easily reported to the outside world. And Western media is trying to shift away from Gaza, even though they've already tried to ignore it as much as possible, but they're trying to ignore it even more at a time when the Israelis are carrying out the atrocities that they haven't done before. I mean, they've done everything in the past. They've pulled out the plug for incubators and murdered children and infants. These are the monsters that we're dealing with. But now they're just, they go and give, put aid in front of them, the Americans, and they step back and let the Israeli regime gun down people every day. They're hiding and they're, bending over and crawling to get a bag of flour. And then during the process, a number of them die. They're killed. That's how it is every day. And these sinister monsters in the Western media, they don't say anything about it. They don't even tweet about it. I mean, these journalists, some of them have millions of followers. Some of them have hundreds of thousands of followers. Some of them have tens of thousands of followers. They won't put up a single image of these because for them, it's the money. It's the influence. It's the access that's important. They have no morality. They have no shame. They are no better than the Zionist killers that are actually carrying out these murders because they're the ones who are allowing it to happen. They're the ones who are facilitating these crimes. And they're now using Iran and demonizing Iran to help facilitate those crimes. But it's not working. And what they're doing is across the world, people are looking at them with disgust. In their own countries, people are looking and they're revolting. They're revolting against us. You saw Ted Cruz, humiliated by Tucker Carlson, and you see the debate widening about Zionism and about the Israeli regime and Christianity and how they've deceived so many people in America and in the United States with this, cult of Zionist Christianity, which believes that Christ is a supporter of Holocaust. It's sort of like, it's the same thing as saying Christ supported Hitler. There's no difference between saying Christ supported Hitler than Christ supported the Zionist Holocaust. But this is what happened in the 18th and 19th century in the United States. Overwhelmingly in the South, especially of the United States, of pastors and Christian
preachers.
Preachers. They would say, they would justify slavery by, using the Bible, interpreting it in the way in which benefited them. And that is exactly what we're seeing today. So these genocidal monsters, they, just like in the past, they were presenting slavery as something acceptable to Christianity, as if Jesus would accept what they were doing to the slaves in the South. And now it's the same thing. It's the same model. These cultists, these Christian Zionist cultists, what they do is basically they're saying, yes, Christ supports the slaughter of these kids, gunning them down, shooting in the head, starving them. we're but real Christians and Muslims like ourselves who believe in Christ, Muslims all revere Christ. For us, it's the most disgusting and anti-Christian and anti-Christ sentiments possible, beliefs possible.
I remember when the Zaporizhzhia power plant, nuclear power plant, was attacked by Ukrainians, and they were trying to say that it was Russia that is destroying the power plant while it was under the control of Russians. They were all over the mainstream media. They were talking about attacking nuclear power plants. Right now, Israel is just crossing each and every red line in these attacks on Iran. And nobody in the mainstream media, in the international community, is talking about it. Europeans, none. They're not. How ridiculous, Professor Mirandi, is becoming these international communities, organizations. It seems as time goes by, the reality of these organizations become more clear to the people that they're not capable of doing anything.
You know, the thing is, in my opinion, that after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the West thought we've reached the end of the world. And sadly, so did many intellectuals across the world. They came to that conclusion. And so Western narratives and discourse, the discourse coming from elites and the powerful in the West became very influential across the world. So we, in our own country, in Iran, many liberals began to believe that the West is somehow morally superior and technologically and inherently superior, more creative, and that sort of nonsense that we hear always repeated. That after the collapse of the Soviet Union and the victory of the United States over Saddam Hussein in Kuwait, which, you know, the ghosts of Vietnam were swept away. And so it was the unipolar moment. It was the, you know, the United States was the hyperpower. And many people believed, or, you know, whether they liked it or not, that this was it. You know, you had to obey the West. You had to be obedient to the West. And many believed that the West was indeed morally and superior in every way possible. And the history, the 500 years of history of the Western Empire, colonization, the massacres and the genocides in Latin America, across Africa, in the Americas, in across Asia, Southeast Asia, and elsewhere, all of that was sort of swept away. It disappeared from the narrative. But now, over the past few years, people are waking up, and it's intense, the anger and hatred for the Western Empire, and it is intensifying inside the West as well, because they see that these people treat them with contempt, just like they treat the rest of us with contempt. And this is changing so fast. And since these monsters, they've been overstretched, and they've been waging endless wars, and they've been trying to accumulate as much wealth as possible for themselves from their own societies and from other societies, they've ruined their opportunity to keep control of the world. They had strong control for a couple of decades, but now it's just crumbling. And it seems like they are, every stupid act that they carry out, every foolish policy that they pursue, they're intensifying the collapse of their empire. The only sad thing is that people are dying as a result. People are being slaughtered, massacred, and Western media tries to justify it or glorify it or hide it in any way or form or possible. But people are seeing right through it. It doesn't work. Carrying out aggression on Iran, no matter how you frame it and you lie about it, you can't hide the fact that Tulsi Gabbard said that Iran is not pursuing a nuclear weapon. And the fact that Tulsi Gabbard suddenly flips just hours ago only discredits her and the whole political establishment. It just shows that it's just utterly corrupt and that it's not redeemable. It's only making it worse for themselves. So I think that the days ahead will, and the weeks ahead, may be tough, very tough. And the United States may attack tonight or today or tomorrow, but they will not win. And this will redraw the map across the region. and it will bring down the global economy if he does so. And the world will not be blaming Iran, which is the victim. It will be blaming Netanyahu and Trump, Zionism, and the neocons.
You mentioned Tulsi Gabbard, and but what's going on in the movement that support Donald Trump, MAGA movement, is something beyond and Tulsi Gabbard. They're not happy with the situation. They didn't want any sort of war anywhere, specifically in the Middle East, because they had this sort of background of the Iraq war, Afghanistan war. They know what would that happen. That means a lot of Americans being killed in the process of the war. And Iran is not Iraq and Afghanistan. I think everybody knows that by now.
Iran is not Vietnam. Iran is far, far more dangerous for the United States if it attacks Iran, for the reasons I told you. This region is very vulnerable. And also, Nima, it's not just about Americans dying. It's about the fact that the United States has destroyed its own middle class, and so has Europe. And while the elites are living it up, and for them, life is good, for ordinary Americans, that's not the case. This is not the United States of 30, 40 years ago. This is not the Europe of the past. And the more they push these wars, regardless of, you know, let's say they don't even attack Iran, but the more they push these conflicts, whether in Ukraine or Iran or with China, the worse things are going to get for the majority in their own countries. This is going downhill for them. But as I said, I think for the third, fourth time, as I've already said three or four times, an attack on Iran will be a catalyst like no catalyst that we've seen before. It will bring a collapse to the global economy. And just trying to imagine what the world will look like after that is very difficult. It will be dark.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Professor Marandi, for being with us today. Great pleasure, as always.
Thank you, Nima. It's always a pleasure, always an honor. And thank you very much for inviting me. Thank you.